For the text we consider this morning, those first six words of Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Last night and this morning, we gather together as a congregation to mark the passing of time. This morning, we look ahead. We see the approach and the arrival and the approach of the year 2016. And as we mark the passing of time, we are conscious of the fact that time is not in our hands. I do not control my life and the time of my life, and you do not control your lives and the time of your lives either. No, it really often seems to us that time marches on and that time is in control of us. And there are many people in the world who are saddened by the fact that they have no control over the passing of time. And if we're honest, sometimes the fact that the years keep passing by, the hours, the days, and the weeks, and there's nothing that we can do about it, sometimes that is distressing to us too. How often wouldn't you like to have control over time? How often have you ever thought it would be nice to be able to push a button and to rewind time? To go back, because the present is not quite as good and pleasant to me as a time in the past was. Or maybe you wouldn't necessarily want to go back in time, but you would like to be able to slow time down, to push a button that would pause things for a little while. Parents who have children in the home often wish that they had that control over time, so that they could slow down the growth of their children, so that they could enjoy for a little longer having their children in their home under their roof. But we cannot rewind time and go back. We cannot pause time, nor can we go forward. Sometimes that's what we would like to do. We would like to hurry time along so that we can go on to something that is better, something that we are anticipating with joy and hope. Especially maybe the young people and the children sometimes wish that they could move ahead a year or maybe 2 or 3 years to that time when I can obtain my driver's license, or that time when I will find my spouse, and to the time when I can enjoy the things that I look forward to as an adult. But time is not under our control. No, we are creatures of time. We are subject to time. Time marches on. And the psalm teaches us that this morning. The text that we have before us teaches us what we know by experience, that time is not under our control. But the text also teaches us this to our comfort, that time is not in control either. Time is not ultimately sovereign over us, so that we are merely subject to time. But when the psalmist says, "My times are in thy hand," he is making the confident confession that God is the God of time, that he is the Lord and the ruler of time. And he makes this a very personal confession. Notice that this is not merely a statement of truth. The psalmist could have said, "All time is controlled by the Lord." But he makes it a very personal confession, "My time is in thy hand." And this is a confession of every child of God. So we know that time, when it passes, does not simply waste away. We know that whatever happened in 2015, that it was not meaningless and purposeless. And when we look ahead to the year 2016, and we see that the future is dark, really, as far as we are concerned, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Nevertheless, we can confidently say the time that is to come is in the hand of the Lord. And He will rule and direct all things according to His purposes. But this is a very personal confession. Notice that. This is not simply a confession that all things work together for the church, that all things that have happened for the church have been good for the church, and that all things that will happen will be good for the church. But the psalmist makes this very, very personal. And every one of us here this morning ought to do that too, looking at our own lives, our own time, and say this morning, confidently, as we look to the year ahead, my time is in the hand of God. And so I call your attention to this portion of Psalm 51, verse 15, using the words themselves as the theme. My times are in thy hand. And let's notice in the first place the foundational truth that is confessed here. And then let's notice in the second place the confident or the personal assurance that is based on that foundational truth. And then thirdly, let's notice the everlasting comfort. My times are in thy hand, the foundational truth, the personal assurance, and the everlasting comfort. When the psalmist says, my times are in thy hand, he is expressing a foundational truth that is important for every one of us to recognize, that God is the supreme and sovereign ruler over all of His creatures, including now His creature time. When the psalmist says, my times are in thy hand, he very clearly means that time is not independent from God. Time is under the sovereign control of God. And that is emphasized even more powerfully in the Hebrew than it comes across in the King James translation. In the original, the order is a little bit different. The psalmist does not say, my times are in thy hand, but he actually starts with, in thy hand, putting all of the emphasis on the hand of God, the mighty, powerful hand of God. In thy hand are my times. Now, when the psalmist speaks about God as if He has a hand, our first reaction is perhaps to say, now we know that God does not really have a hand. But now what we ought to do is think about our hands, because the psalmist applies to God a human characteristic. We understand that. He applies to God a human characteristic, speaking of a hand, making us think of our hands. And what we need to think is this: God, who designed our hands and who created our hands and gave us our hands that we use, we understand the importance of our hands. We understand the power of our hands. God gave us these hands for this purpose, not just so that we could work here on this earth and do things here on this earth, but God gave us these hands so that we would be able to see and understand something about who God is. So now think about your hands, your dominant hand, whether that's your right or your left hand. Think about the strength that you have in that hand, the power that hand has to grab onto things, the power that hand has to hold things in a tight grip, the power that hand has to move things and to manipulate things. And now, when you think about God, that's what you must think about: the power of God to hold time, to move time, control time. Think about the power of God that we know of as the power of His providence. And yes, you may think of that figuratively. Although we know that God does not have a hand, the Bible is saying, compare God's power to a hand. And think about God holding the whole world in His hand. And time, too. So, we shouldn't so quickly say that when the Bible says that speaks of God having a hand, that He doesn't have a hand. But what we should do is say this. Our hands are a slight, very faint picture of the sovereign, all-powerful hand of God. The power He exercises in His providence. And we can sense that. How powerful God is expressed to be here. When we think about now our relationship to time and how we are unable to manipulate time, unable to control time at all. Think about the things that you can do with your hands and you think, yes, I can do mighty things with my hands. But doesn't our ability and our power with our hands pale in comparison to this? God is able to control and to hold in His hand time. So, we must think this morning about God's relationship to time. And we, in considering the psalmist's confident confession here, recognize that implied here is that God is the creator of time. Time is not eternal, as many people think today. Time is a creature of God. Children like to ask, when did God create time? He created time in the beginning, the first day, the first moment of creation. When Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, there is the beginning of time. And therefore, time is the servant of God. That's stressed, too, in the creation week. God doesn't merely measure time. That's what we do. We measure time in minutes and hours and days and weeks and so on. But God actually governs time. He's the one who created the minute. He's the one who created the day and the month and the year. We find that in the opening chapter of Genesis. We measure time by means of the servants God created to govern time. We measure time by the orbit of the sun, the movements of the moon and the stars and the other planets. But God actually appointed those creatures to be His servants to govern the movement of time. So, we may be confident God who created time is sovereign over time. But that's not all. When the psalmist says that my times are in thy hand, he's recognizing that God sovereignly rules over time. Time is His servant. He is also confidently confessing that there's a purpose, that there's a plan of God for all time. He is confident that God hasn't merely created time and then placed Him in time, but that God also has a purpose for His life and for the life of all of His people moving through time. We can go back, that means, to creation and find that God created time, but we can go back even before that to eternity and see that God has planned all things that will happen in time and that He's directing all things according to that plan. And that's very comforting for you and me as we look ahead to another year. We know another 365 days are going to come. And we know that things are not just going to happen, controlled by chance or by fate, without any purpose or any sense at all, but we as Christians are able to say this all has a purpose, and therefore we have a hope. You understand that the people who don't know that God is in control and that He's carrying out His plan don't really have any hope. There's no purpose to the passing of time. There's no purpose to history. So some of them say, there's really nothing ever good. There's nothing really bad either. We just are. And then they take the attitude of a Stoic. The best thing that you can do in your life is just take things as they come. Don't get too excited. Don't become too sad. Just try to live on an even plane. See how hopeless that is? There are others who take what might appear to be a more optimistic approach, and maybe that's true of more people in the world today. They take the approach that there is really no goal, no end in mind through the passing of time. So the only thing that we have is today, and the way that we ought to live is to try to gain as much pleasure as we can in the present moment. And so these people seem to be living life to the fullest. They seem to be more happy and optimistic, but their philosophy is very hopeless, and you know that philosophy. Let us eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. And that's it. There's no hope in that. But when the psalmist says here, my times are in thy hand, he has a sense that there's a purpose. There's a meaning to life. There's an end in mind that God has in store for him. And we may say that as Christians. We may say that all time has been planned from before there was time in eternity by God, and that he has an end. He has a goal in mind for his people. It's not senseless or purposeless. So that you see, as Christians, we're able to go back. And we're able to stand in the present, and we're able to look into the future, and we're able to say, God is in control of all of this. And he's governing it for his purposes to be accomplished. God created time. He works in time to preserve all things and to direct them to the end that he has planned. And generally speaking, this is a very comforting truth for the church. Looking back, we can say that for 6,000 years of the history of the church, nothing has ever happened by chance. The church has never been under the control of the devil or any of her enemies. Always the church has been under the control of God, so that whatever has happened, we can say everything that has happened has been controlled by God for the good of his church. And looking forward to 2016, 17, 18, we don't know how many years there will be yet in this present time. But God does, and he will control all the days in the future for the good of his church. He will not give his church over to the hand of the enemy, to the hand of the Antichrist, to the hand of the rulers that be in the world. We know that whoever will be in the White House, or whoever will be sitting in the seats of Congress, or whoever will be sitting in the seats of the Supreme Court justices, those men do not hold the church in their hand. We are in the hand of God. But notice, as I said in the introduction, that the psalmist narrows it down to himself and his own personal life and times. My times are in thy hand. Isn't that wonderful? The psalmist is teaching us this wonderful truth that our God, who is the sovereign God, who cannot be contained by the whole universe, who's infinitely exalted above time even and above space, who holds all things in his hand. He's also a God who is able to take notice personally of each individual one of his people. You might think God doesn't have the time for that. You might think that that's too small for God to take notice of one individual person. But the psalmist assures us here that God is a shepherd who indeed knows every single one of his sheep, who rules over the life of every one of his sheep. The psalmist is certainly saying that God governs and controls all that happens in the whole of one's life. Those words come to mind, don't they? Ere into being I was brought, my life in all its perfect plan was ordered before my days began. That's certainly what the psalmist is confessing here. But now notice that he speaks of his times. He speaks in the plural. He recognizes that his life is able to be divided into different periods, different segments of his life. And that's true for every one of us. We may speak of the time of conception and birth. We may speak after that of the time of the toddler stage. And then after that, there is the stage of adolescence, the stage of young adulthood, and then there is the stage of what we in the church sometimes call the mid-adult stage. And we even have a mid-adult Bible study sometimes for the people in that stage. And then there's the senior adult stage. There's the stage in life, the time in life when one becomes an elderly person. And there's a time not only of conception and birth and all of the stages of life, but then finally also of death. But there are other ways, too, that we are able to divide the seasons of life. You think of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 when it speaks of a time for all kinds of different things. There's a time for planting, there's a time for harvesting. There's a time for laughter, there's a time for tears. There's a time of health and there's a time of sickness. There's the time of life and yes, the time of death. So the psalmist is saying, nothing is constant in my life. My life is constantly changing. And notice in that he is making the confession, and it's not under my control. My times are not in my hand. If things are going well for me today, that might change tomorrow, and there's nothing I can do about it. And if things are not going well for me today and I want them to change tomorrow, there's nothing I can do to make them change. And so he's conscious of the ups and the downs of life, the good and the bad, and of the fact that he's powerless to control those things. And we ought to take note that he is especially conscious of the difficulties, the sadness, the struggles of life when he makes this confession. You can see that here even in the text, the last part of the text, when he says, "My times are in thy hand," he goes on to say, "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." He's under persecution. And then you look back at verses 9 and 10. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed." He's thinking about his own sin and guilt too. And then he goes on. "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me fled without, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. David is speaking, and we know about this, of the great adversities that he went through in his life, and he's speaking especially about the time before he was king, when Saul was jealous of his reputation among the people and sought his life. And not only was he persecuted by Saul, who was seeking his life, but David is speaking here of the fact that even the people that he thought of as his friends wouldn't have anything to do with him. Because you see, there was a priest named Ahimelech who had helped David and was rewarded by Saul with death. He was killed for helping David. And so David feels like he's forgotten. He's put out of mind. He is lonely and he's like a broken vessel. This is a time then of personal difficulty and struggle. And the question for him is, what will I do with this time? How am I going to view things at this time? And that's a very important question for all of us. When we look back and we see that the life of God's people is filled with difficulty, when we look ahead, we know more bad things can happen. I didn't talk to Reverend Cole, didn't ask him about the things that have happened in this congregation over the last year. But as churches, we know of some of the things that have happened in our area. An 8-year-old boy who goes out to get the mail, killed in a car crash. A 30-year-old man falls from a great height to his death, leaves behind a young widow and young children who are now fatherless. In the faith congregation, there were 2 deaths, both of them of elderly people. And so one might think from that point of view, easy, but for one, after a time, 70 years of marriage, he lost his wife and now has to adjust to a time of loss and life without her. For the other, it was a woman who, after a life of 69 years of marriage, now must adjust to a time of loss and widowhood and loneliness. You see, those are the kinds of things that have happened and that can happen, or things like them, in the year 2016. Things that bad, or maybe things that aren't quite that bad or difficult for us. And the question for us as we go through those times when we feel like we're a broken vessel, when we might even say, as David says here later in the psalm, that he thought that he was forgotten by the Lord, what will we do? And we learn from the text, starting in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." And what the psalmist is confessing here is not merely that God is the sovereign God who controls time, but he's confessing his personal relationship with God. Notice that. That's why I read verse 14. It's very important to realize that. He says, "Thou art my God." The God who controls time is his God with whom he has a relationship, a friendship. He knows that there may be many people for whom God controls their times with his hand, but God's hand is heavy upon them. God's hand is a hand of judgment upon them. God does move and direct everything in their lives, but not for their good, for their destruction. But when the psalmist says, "My times are in thy hand," he is confident of this. God loves me. And he holds me and my life in his hand to direct it for my good and for my salvation. Perhaps it is best to say that the psalmist is looking at the hand of God, and he sees that hand of power as the hand of his Father, not the hand of a judge, but the hand of a loving Father. Now, in the Old Testament, the people of God didn't commonly refer to God as their Father, and so in this Psalm 2, it's not surprising that God is not referred to as the psalmist's Father. But the New Testament indicates that that is the best way to view the hand of God, that it is the hand of our Father who guides and directs us. And we have reason to think that way here in this psalm too. You notice in verse 5, we find these words, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit," and we know that that's prophetic, that that's pointing to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the whole of this psalm, everything that David speaks of, even his own life experiences, are really a prophecy pointing ahead to Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who said these words on the cross. Only you know that when you look these words up in Luke 23, verse 36, that there's a word added. Jesus doesn't merely say, "Father," or he doesn't merely say, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," but he adds that word, "Father." And Jesus could call God Father because he was the natural Son of God. God had begotten him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was the Son of God, but there at the cross, Jesus Christ could call God Father as the Son who had perfectly fulfilled the will of his Father. And therefore, Jesus is the one who really says these words of our text, "My times are in thy hand." God had determined his conception, his birth, his childhood, and everything that would happen in his childhood. His whole life, his ministry, the miracles that he would perform, the preaching that he would bring to the people, and especially his suffering. Jesus could call him Father as the one who laid down his life for his people. And then you notice verse 5 speaks of redemption. Jesus didn't need that. The psalmist did. And we do. To be redeemed from our sins and our iniquity. To be delivered from our enmity with God. To be brought into the family of God. So that for Jesus' sake, we may call him Father. And so it is in Jesus Christ that God reveals to us that our times are in his hand. Not merely that he sovereignly controls all things, but that he possesses us, that he loves us, that he controls all things as our Father. Jesus came saying in Matthew chapter 10 to his people, "Don't be afraid. Don't you know that all of the sparrows of heaven cannot drop out of the heavens without the will of your heavenly Father? Don't you know that your Father in heaven even numbers the hairs on your head," he says, "that not one of your hairs can fall without the will of your heavenly Father." And then Jesus adds this, "And don't you understand that you are far more worth in value than sparrows?" And he doesn't say it, but we can think this too, that we are more far, far more worth in value than the hairs of our heads. And so it was Jesus who said in John 10, verse 3, that God knows his sheep by name. And so, the psalmist is confident of this. And we must be confident of this. There's never a time when God leaves or forsakes us. There's never a time where God leaves us alone into our own hands. There's never a time where He leaves us alone into the hands of our enemies. If we name them as people, God doesn't leave us in their hands. But if we name them as the circumstances of our life, maybe we think of the enemy of cancer or some other sickness or disease or some other affliction. God doesn't leave us in their hands. Always, always, we are in the hands of our Father. Therefore, you understand, we have everlasting comfort. To be in the hand of God is the only place of safety, and it is a place of everlasting safety. The psalmist is confident of that. The last verse, he speaks of putting his hope in the Lord. In the text, he speaks of deliverance from the hand of his enemies. The psalmist is confident that there is going to come a time when this present time where bad things happen, where there is this cycle of good and bad, is going to come to an end. There is going to come a time where there is perfect deliverance from all that makes life sorrowful. Sometimes in our lives, God does give us deliverance here in this time. We pray for that. We pray for God to remove our burdens, to give to us relief from our troubles and trials. And sometimes in this life, God gives that. But we pray for that, recognizing that ultimately the deliverance is going to come in not this time, but the time and the age to come that the Bible speaks of. And so we look forward. Oh, yes, we look forward to another new year. We aren't discouraged by the passing of time. We're not discouraged by the fact that we are moving forward in time, because we know the end is that much closer. And this is our comfort, because we are in our Father's hands for the sake of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us what that means in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. When he tells us first, because you are in my hand, you're in my hand, no man will pluck you from my hand. But then he says also, you are in the hand of the Father who is greater than all, and no man can pluck you from his hand. You see, from eternity, before time began, God placed his people in the hand of Jesus Christ. And at the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus Christ placed his people back, really, in a sense, into the hand of God. No one will be able to reverse what God has done through Jesus Christ. This is the personal assurance that gives courage and hope to everyone who puts their faith in the Lord. So as you look forward to the new year, resolve that you are not going to use this year to continue in sin and to face the passage of time as unbelievers do, trying to pretend that this life and this world is all that there is, trying to find all of the pleasure and the happiness that they can get from this present time. But put your faith in God. Trust Him. And say this: my times are in the hands of God, my Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee that we may enter in the new year with hope, and not with the carnal hope that simply says that this year will be a better year financially or from any earthly point of view. But we thank Thee that we may look forward to the new year with the hope of faith that is able to say, we don't know what will happen, but we do know in whose hands we will be. And we know that because we are in Thy hand, all things will be for our good and salvation for the sake of Jesus Christ. Grant unto us faith, we might put our hope in Thee, and that we might give evidence of that hope in the coming year, as we seek not the things of this world, but the things of Thy kingdom. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.